Whether you in a car, room, office, or tune, wearing in the morning, got to talk for all the news. Sports talk.
I got bucket hats, fitted hats, coach.
Yeah. Boy, starting on them.
We started it, man. Hey, we hitting the record button. Welcome back, everybody.
All right, let's go. Let's roll.
Sports time with my man. We got, as you know, Coach Jay Smith, our college expert that I love to have on. And as you see, he did made some updates in his life too. He got something different too. West Georgia basketball. What's up, Coach?
Hey, what's going on, man? Long time no see. Been about a year or two, man. But you know, we back at it. What's up?
Hey, better late than never, man. Better late than never. Let's start off with what you got on, because last time we talked, you was Reinhardt. So now you at West Georgia.
Oh, man, that was so long ago, man. You know, we had a pause in between Reinhardt, you know, took some time out family-wise. And so, you know, fast forward up into now, you know, I've been at the University of West Georgia this past season. And, you know, we had a tremendous season this year, man.
Yeah, they got to call y'all champs now. I mean, if you're not familiar, West Georgia D2 school, but soon to be Division I going into the A-Sun, and y'all went out with a bang.
Oh, man, yeah. You know, this was like perfect timing, man, you know, to win the regular season championship, and then win the tournament championship. And, you know, we went undefeated at home. We went 15-0, and I think this was something like the first time since 1987 that that has happened, as well as the two championships. So, you know, we kind of left our mark in the NCAA Division II standings and positioning, like you said, transitioning forward to Division I.
Yeah, and it's really like the champs have moved on. Someone else can have this conference. We out of here. We going to bigger and better things. The Atlantic Sun is waiting for y'all.
Well, yeah, you know, it was hard on us this year, man. I can't lie. You know, we were playing and climbing an uphill battle, I think, personally, just because that transition was happening, man. So we had a target on our back. You know, I believe we were picked third overall to finish. But, you know, hey, we persevered, man, and we went number one all the way through. And, you know, we had great leadership. You know, starting with the man that's in the captain chair, Coach Dave Moore, you know, somebody who got Coach of the Year and everything is well deserving, man. He got his 100th win. You know, we seized the title at home. You know, you couldn't ask for a better leader, man. And I've been so grateful to that man for giving me the chance and opportunity when nobody else was willing to reach out, you know, at the time that I was looking, man. So. Again, I'm grateful to him. You know, we're still surrounded by a great staff. We got Coach Mark Schultz. We got Coach Andy Young on board as well. And then you look at the players that we got right there, you know, starting with our floor general, Zadie Jackson. I mean, you know, we go as far as he go. And you talk about somebody that's, man, you know, his numbers are better than Division I point guards at the Blue Bloods and Power Fives.
Yeah, I'm looking at 22 points a game, 5.5 assists a game, an amazing assist to turnover ratio as well. So taking care of the ball, which is, as a point guard, the most important thing you can do is take care of the ball. And then he put it in the basket as well. I said 22 points a game in college is not a slouch. Like, that's impressive.
Hey, at all, at no level, you know, and the fact that he's doing it at the Division II level against top-notch competition and other ranked opponents is amazing. You know, he and I always joke, and I tell him all day, I say, dude, if you were 6'5", 6'6", I say, man, you're in the top 10 of the NBA draft, man, without question. But, you know, he's level-headed, man. That's what I like about this team. That's what I like about him. You know, he has a backup partner, his two-guard, Cam Denotlin. He, you know, he hovers around 15 or so a game as well. You got Marlon Smith that comes off the bench and he gives us something. You got KG, he comes off the bench. He gives us some. So any given night, man, it was hard to prepare for us because you don't know which one of our guys was going to get in buckets. If KG had a slow night, Marlon picked it up. If Marlon had a slow night, KG and Mike Smith picked it up. You know, so it was just – we were hard to prepare for, you know. And again, a testament to the whole team, the staff, and everything. We put the plans together, man, and we just been victorious, man.
Was it like an emotional season? I know you're not like ending the program, but you're leaving the conference that you've been in for a very long time. You become relationship with the other coaches in the conference. You know, you start to know the schools. Was it a season where you guys were kind of like, everything's all in, let's just leave it all out in this conference this season, and kind of just, you know, take it as it goes?
Well, you know, for me, by this being year one for me, you know, I did know some of the coaches, but, you know, when you talk about a guy like Coach Moore and some of the other guys that's been there 5 or 6 years, you know, I'm sure they're looking to progress and elevate, not only competition-wise, but now you're talking about changing the whole structure of everything, you know. So it's going to the facilities, you know, the travel is different now. You know, you don't have to split games with the women, you know. So that makes tremendous difference right there alone, you know, being able to just go into a city, play, and get out of there, you know. So, you know, it helps with the kids getting back to class and getting a good night's sleep if possible and waking up going to class versus having to sit around at the gym early and then stay a little bit later. And then, you know, it's still causing the same effect for the women's side. You know, are they waiting on us to play? You know, so all around, man, for the whole university, it's just a great buzz and atmosphere that the A-Sun is there and they're transitioning to it.
That's amazing, man. And like you said, I went to, I made the tourney overall 2-seed, was it? Or 3-seed?
Yeah. Yeah, no, we made the NC2A tournament, national championship tournament as the 2-seed. Nova Southeastern was number one. We were number two. Florida Southern was number three, who we lost in the semifinals to. So right now, I shouldn't even be talking to you. I should be in Evansville getting ready to play for the national championship. But you know,
6 points in overtime. That's a heartbreaker too.
Yeah, 6 points in overtime, man. You know, we had our chances, but you know, sometimes that's just how the break goes, man. You know, had a chance to get, you know, possible 4 or 5 rings in total, but we ended up with 2. So, you know, it's not all a dud season when you look at it that way.
No, it's all a success season, man. I mean, you know, many schools are just grateful and happy to make it to the dance, you know, make it to that tournament. And that's what brings us here today. Let's talk about the dance. I mean, March Madness is going on, and I've been watching the women's tournament a lot. That's what
I'm with you. Yeah, no, I got free time now.
Never too soon. But man, the women's tournament has been fire. It ended the season with a little scuffle, a little brawl, and that hasn't carried into the tournament, but the grit has carried into the tournament, the momentum, the atmosphere. And I mean, these girls are playing, and I just really, let's just get right into region one, man. South Carolina, I think, is about to do it again in that region, man. They are dominant.
Let me see, man. I'm pulling up my bracket now. South Carolina. So their next up opponent is Indiana, it looks like.
Indiana just got done beating Oklahoma a couple of nights ago.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see Indiana giving them any trouble in that game. You know, to go back to what you said, this has probably been, you know, last year was pretty high, but I think this year has exceeded that tremendously. I mean, because you're getting levels of competition from different teams that you never heard of as far as women basketball being popular. I mean, you're talking about Utah's, you're talking about the USC's, you know, Nebraska, you know, like Colorado, you know.
I didn't know Gonzaga girls. I know Gonzaga girls had a good squad.
Gonzaga girl got a squad as well. So, you know, not only that, I mean, your staples are going to be there, the South Carolinas, the UConn's, the LSU's. But to see some new blood in there and they're competing, it's not like all these games have been blowing out. It comes down to the last possession or two. You know, it is a good thing. But, you know, to go back to what you said in that region, man, I see South Carolina facing, I'm going to say Notre Dame. You know, I got Notre Dame winning it all. That's how my bracket shaped out. You know, I'm probably jumping ahead, But that's how that's my bracket shaped out with Notre Dame winning it all. So, but yeah, South Carolina is going to easily take care of Indiana this week.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. I like the, you know, of course, South Carolina, you know, being the over, being the one seed, they haven't had too much of a challenge yet. But I'm curious to see how, if Indiana can kind of, at least, like you said, make it interesting and give them a challenge. They played Oklahoma really well last week, and that was a game that kind of went down to the end.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody makes it a game or so the first couple of quarters, you know. What does Mike Tyson say? Everybody has a plan until you get hit in the mouth, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, South Carolina is always clicking on every cylinder. And like you say, I think the only challenge they had is maybe the SEC championship when Tennessee took them to the brink and the young lady hit the three at the buzzer, you know.
Yeah, the buzzer beat the three.
Yeah, so – they're a tough team, man. Staley got them rolling.
Staley do got them rolling. And I just don't know, looking at Indiana, if they got enough firepower. You know, they do got – I did see that. They got one girl, Mackenzie Holmes. She had like 29 or 30 against Oklahoma the other night. And she's a top 25 scorer in it. So I'm just hoping they can kind of put some pressure on South Carolina, because I don't want to see a blowout in the Sweet 16.
Well, not knowing much about Indiana – they're going to need about five or six Mackenzie Holmes to to make it a competition.
They're going to need more than one for sure. That's so true, because this is going to be, like you said, I don't know if this is going to be a close game, but the one I am interested in you just spoke about is Oregon State and Notre Dame. I think that's going to be a very great matchup.
Yeah, that one's going to be up and down, man. You know, the downside about Notre Dame is they only plan, I want to say, six players, seven. Yeah, because you got young ladies hurt, some sick. So, you know, to be winning how they're winning is true grit and grut. And, you know, it's the structure from the coach. Coach Ivy does a great job. You know, she's been there for a while, so she's grounded and rooted. And the girls, you know, and I believe that players take on the demeanor of their coaches. And so for them to have six players, and they done went through Kent State, they done went through Ole Miss, who wasn't a pushover, you know, they kind of blew them out. And so to see how Oregon is going to stack up, that's going to be a great game to check out, man.
And that's the – I picked Oregon State in this one, but only okay. for that reason. Only because Notre Dame goes six deep, and they're really top-heavy. Like, the five starters are scoring, like, 80% of their points. So in March, I'm always worried about foul trouble, a couple of bad calls by the ref early in the game to a team with a small bench. Next thing you know, you're in trouble. If not, Notre Dame's got some hell of some players. They really do. Matty West balled. I watched last week against Ole Miss ball out. And then they got another girl who play like 40 minutes, a little guard. Sanja, I think her name is, or Sonia. She was pretty sweet too. So Notre Dame's got some players, but I'm just curious if they got enough players to be able to hang.
At the end of the day, that's going to be their downfall right there, not having enough horses to run the race.
Yeah, because going six deep in March is always difficult.
Right.
Region four, we got Texas and Gonzaga. Like I said, I didn't even know Gonzaga had a girls team. And that's a fault by me. because they've been looking good against Utah. I watched the Utah game last week. They look good against Utah. I was like, okay, Zags.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see the Zags play. I've seen Texas play. Coach, I can't think of his name right now. He was at Mississippi State, but he's a grounded and rooted and stable, great coach. You know, most of the time you see Texas, they're always on TV for the assistant coach and her outfits, you know. Yeah. But they're balling this year, man. And, I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, I'm picking Texas for sure to win that game. Like you said,
I'm with
that's
you.
That's a well-proven team with a well-proven coaching staff as well that seems to be making the headlines for the right reasons now. Nah, you know, they're not worried about their outfits no more. And now this is a team we're all used to dominating, man. NC State, but they're facing off against Stanford. Stanford keeps a powerhouse, and they got another one.
You know, Coach Tara Vanderveer, I mean, she's had a couple of down years, but I mean, she's a great coach and she always stays loaded one way or another. But I'm going to have to go with NC State. You know, I just think NC State, got that buzz. I mean, you look on the men's side, Coach Kevin Keith's got them boys rolling. You look on the women's side, I got to go with NC State, man. That's just the hot pick to me right now.
It is. If I didn't just see Stanford's girl score 41, I would probably be with you. But after I just see her score 41, and I've always been a fan of is it Cameron Brink? I've always liked Cameron Brink. So they got this girl scoring 41 along with Cameron. Hopefully that's enough.
Yeah, but the chance of her doing that two times in a row is very slim, you know. So we'll see. So we'll see where we stand come next week.
NC State's a good pick. Iowa and Colorado, are you all in on the Caitlin train? I know I am.
Nah.
I knew you were.
Yeah. You know me so well, man. I'll just be glad when that. You know, I do hope they win so them and LSU can match up once again. You know what I'm saying? But Colorado's had a heck of a year, man. I believe at one point they were close to ranked number one in the country. They had a good year, and of course they drew. Yeah, of course they drew the attention when Deion Sanders' daughter transferred from Jackson State and got on the team. But you know, I don't really know much about them. I've seen them play, but I haven't sat down and actually watched a complete game. So I'm going to actually go with Iowa on this game.
Yeah, same with me. I've seen Colorado play maybe once or twice this year against USC because I wanted to see my girl Juju play. But like you said, Colorado did get as high as ranked to number three this season in the women's top 25. So it's definitely a good squad. But I think Caitlin Clark, personally, I think she's just too much. And in March, I usually go with the best player on the court in March. That's just especially if that best player is a guard. I think guards dominate March. And I don't know if Colorado's gonna have anything to do with Caitlin Clark, man. She's on fire right now.
Gotcha.
Here's your girls, LSU, UCLA. They got their hands full, though.
This is gonna be a great game. This is gonna be a great game, and I will be watching.
Probably the best game of the weekend.
Yeah. I'll be watching that one, man. You know, UCLA done had some great teams over the past few years, man. So, you know, LSU, we know they make up. They're a 3-4-headed monster, sometimes more than that at times. You know, when you look at really this past game that they had against, Middle Tennessee State actually gave them a little game. But Flage kind of stepped in there and did her thing. I mean, you didn't really hear too much about Angel Reese, even though she was, an assist with her. But, yeah, this is going to be hard to call, man. I want LSU to get there just for the Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese rematch. And, that's going to be Stage America right there if that happens.
100%. Yeah, that 83-56 win last week for LSU is one of those games where the scoreboard doesn't really tell the truth.
Exactly.
How tight of a game it actually was up to the point. Like you said, they definitely put some pressure on LSU. But she a bad girl, though.
Yeah. And like you say, man, Coach Emmons up at MTSU, you know, my time living in Nashville, he's a great coach, man. And them girls was actually in the game up until the fourth quarter. MTSU was, and LSU just pulled away.
I'm like you, for complete bias reasons, I'm picking LSU to beat UCLA. I just want to see Angel Reese and them get to the finals and have that rematch. I feel like this is like Game of Thrones, like Nightwalkers versus the North. Like, I need to see this matchup. I need to see Clark and Angel Reese go back at it. But this is going to be a hell of a game. UCLA is extremely stacked, very good team, and they're going to give them a run for their money. USC and Baylor, I think the second most exciting player in girls college basketball right now, it's got to be your girl Juju Watkins in USC.
Oh yeah, Juju's been doing her thing all year, you know. So it's just about how Baylor's going to stop them, and Baylor's no slouch, you know. That five seed may be kind of low for them, you know, to be completely honest. They could have easily had a 2 or 3 seed the year they had. Is just the bracket that they fell in. So By no means is Baylor slouch. They had a great game with the against Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech's been good. As a matter of fact, they just lost their coach. He just took the University of Kentucky job. So, you know, another brother moves to the SEC, you know. So this was going to be, you know, it's one of them pick 'em games. You just don't know, you know, because if Juju have off night, you know.
Yeah,
so
freshman on the big stage.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I know it'd be great to see, you know, South Carolina, I mean, Southern California and possibly UConn. Yep. But I for the commercial and TV sake, I'll go with USC.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm with it because that's the matchups I want to see. I want LSU versus Iowa. I want USC and I want UConn. Just go ahead and give us all four of the best players right now in college basketball. Let's see them all square off. So I'm picking USC over Baylor, unfortunately. And then the last game of the night is UConn and Duke. And UConn's great coach has them back to in the discussion again. It's like they only were down, quote unquote, down for like a year and a half or two. But they got them back in the race again.
Yeah, I mean, you said the magic words, got them back in the discussion. But, you know, watching them when they played, I watched them versus Syracuse. That was a good game. And I watched them when they played Jackson State. And Jackson State gave them, you know, a cup of coffee and a sweet roll. And then, you know, the bigger sizes just took over, man. And that's going to be hard when you're talking, you know, Power Fives and Blue Bloods versus mid-majors or smaller, you know. So, you know, for those upset type of upsets to happen, you have to have almost a perfect night. And that's men or women. So I'm with you. I see UConn pulling away from Duke and Kara Lawson team. And, you know, we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the Duke Blue Devils as far as the girls' side. I do know that UConn does not have a deep bench at all. They're only going about 6-7 deep, too. You just hope. I assume and hope that Paige is back to herself. She looked really good against Syracuse, blocking shots, playing defense, as well as her 29 points on offense. So I think she should be enough to get them past Duke.
Yeah, you know, it might be the hair. You know, she might change her hair color again. You know, the yellow and black worked for her this week.
The yellow and black showed out because she was. I was like, I didn't know she was a great defender too. To be honest, I thought she was more of a scorer and a passer. She had some good defensive plays, some shot blocked out of bounds, and I was like, okay, I think this might be a UConn team that could get back there, actually. And then I don't think they can win it, but they can get back there, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, we got an interesting women's tournament coming up this weekend. As the women's was pretty good, the men have had a couple of good games as well, though. So I do want to turn over to the men's tournament. Revisit the couple of weeks, the last opening weekend we just had, and then kind of look at the Sweet 16 coming up as well. So I think let's start off with the number one seed in the East there, UConn Huskies man team. They have destroyed their opponents.
Hey, man, you know, I mean, you talk about the national champs that didn't lose much off that championship team and then added to it, you know, so... you look at how they destroyed Stetson, you look at the Northwestern game, that was good for about 15 minutes, and now you're talking San Diego State, you know, so that's probably going to be their toughest game thus far, because San Diego State, rematch, you know, they're coming they're coming off national championship as well. And I believe they only lost a few guys, so they didn't add it to their roster as well. So we could see another barn burner that comes down to the last one or two possessions, and that's gonna give you the first part of your eight right there.
Yeah, I was gonna say this San Diego State team is a team that sneaks up on you. I feel like every year because you don't see them that much on television, you got to remind yourself. Yeah, they did go national title game last year. But number 13 is going to be an issue for San Diego State versus UConn's 7-2 big man. He's going to have to come out and step out and knock down those shots. San Diego State's dude, I think last name Lilly, he's a threat. offensively and defensively with the ball and without the ball. And I think he could give UConn some issues.
Yeah, well, you know, when you playing on this type of stage, man, you know, it's no surprises, you know. And again, San Diego State is not in a weak conference. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you look at that West Coast out there, who they're playing against. You're talking about the Gonzagas, the St. Mary's, San Francisco, you know, and then they mix up that conference and they playing against USC and other Power Fives as well, man. So, hey, man, you know, my guy Dutcher, man, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a Michigan guy, and you know, I'm always pulling for the Michigan, man. So, you know, I'm hoping Dutcher can get it done.
And San Diego State, they got there with not too much of a challenge. They beat UAB in the opening round. UAB gave them a run for their money a little bit early, and then defeated the possible Cinderella, Yale, as Yale did beat, not too much of a shocker, honestly, an Auburn team, which I feel came out of an SEC conference that was a little overrated.
Weak.
Had some big Ken vibes. Yeah.
Call it what it is. Weak.
Yeah, it was a weak conference, you know, and Yo did the unthinkable for some, but I wasn't shocked that some people called this game. I really wasn't.
Yeah. I kind of predicted when I seen it was close. And, you know, Auburn usually holds true to form, man. You know, when it gets to them barn burners, they're not going to pull it out, you know. And I just get a kick out of sitting there watching Charles Barkley doing what he does for Auburn, you know. So when that goes, man, you can almost expect them to lose, man.
Yeah, like I said, Auburn didn't really have that dominant player this year, in my opinion, that could take over the game when they struggled scoring. I love the guys that they got, but they were all former role players that are now their quote unquote go-to guys. The freshman guard is nice, but it was a big stage for him.
And he's already entered the transfer portal. I've seen it today. Yeah, it's crazy.
One Big Ten team that is representing right now in that East region is Illinois. I've got this Illinois team going very, very far. I told you already, I think guards dominate March, and they got one of the best guards in the tournament in Terrence Shaden Jr.
Hey, facts, you know, to hold true to form, I got to stay my Big Ten roots. You know, I'm going to have to go with you, but Iowa State's no pushover. You know, they've had a tremendous year as well. So to see that you got the number two and number three seed playing against each other, that very well could have been an Elite Eight, if not a Final Four matchup in its own, you know. So I think I want to say it's Coach Brad. I could be wrong. I'm looking at his face. But Illinois has always been great defensively. And yeah, to me, that's what wins. And the fact that he's a defensive coach, and even at his last stop, you know, they were a great defensive team, and that's his mark. So when you're looking at a defensive team like Illinois, and then you talk about the guard play and they can score, it's going to be a barn burner. I don't see this being a blowout at all, because Iowa State can put the ball in the basket and play a little defense themselves.
Iowa State is a team that almost was a one seed. Many thought, at least, they could have been a one seed coming out of it. They are very well-rounded. They've got dominant guard play. They've got good wings. They got some height. I think this has potential to probably be one of the best games of the weekend, this Illinois-Iowa State game. Iowa State got there by way of, you know, South Dakota State, Washington State. We haven't really seen them challenge yet in the tournament, but they came out of the Big 12, and the Big 12 was, as we can see so far, a pretty difficult conference this season.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But, you know, when you really look at it, Big 12's been down, you know, you can put them in the category with the SEC. I mean, you look at Kansas, their players been hurt, but we're not used to seeing Kansas bounce. Look at Kansas State, last couple of years they've had, you know, a great, tremendous run, and they didn't decline now, you know, this season. So I couldn't even tell you the other teams, but you always know the staples of the Big 12 is usually Texas, Kansas State, and Iowa State, you know.
Thankfully, they got Houston and Baylor, you know, kind of helping them out a little bit. Your boys from Houston, we're going to talk about them in a little bit. They are Big 12 now, so that kind of makes the Big 12 strong.
You know I love Calvin Sampson, man.
This weekend we got UConn versus SDSU. Who's your pick to win that game? I'm going with the Huskies. I think this team is just at the end of it. I think it's going to be close early, but I think late, I think UConn's got a little bit too much.
Yeah, man, my heart says San Diego State, but you know, I'm kind of with you, man. UConn's clicking on all cylinders, man, and they have a bench, you know, and them guys not missing a beat when they come off. So I'm gonna go with UConn as well.
And we got Illinois, a number 3 seed versus the number 2 seed Iowa State. We both think it's gonna be a barn burner. I'm rolling with the Big Ten, Illinois.
Same.
Okay, great, yep. Great. All right, here goes your boys in the South region, number 1 seed, Houston out of the Big 12. They they wiped Longwood, but Texas A&M gave them a run for their money. I have not seen Kevin, I have not seen a Houston team give up 95 points to Texas A&M. I know they got some scorers. Wade Taylor's a bad boy, but 95?
Yeah, man. That, you know, again, that's why they call March Madness the best championship run tournament ever, man, because you just don't know. I mean, to hit a buzzer beater when the horn going off and send it to overtime, I mean, that's every kid dream. That's what you practice in the driveway out on the playground, 3-2-1, and you hit the game winner or tie, you know. So everybody's entitled to that one game to push you to the brink. And I think this was the one for Houston. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you already know I'm going with Houston over Duke. I picked them to win the championship on this show the last 2 years, and I'll come this close. So I'm not going to even tell you who I picked this year.
You got to learn from your mistakes.
No. I'm just gonna save it for another week. But I'm gonna pick Houston. You know, I have no love for Duke at all. It doesn't matter who's on the team, if it's Leitner, if it's Hurley, if it's Hill. I have no love for Duke whatsoever, man. So please bounce them quick, fast, in a hurry. Don't pass go and collect $200. Just get them all out of here, man.
And shout out to shout out to Texas A&M and Wade Taylor, next level, man. To be 3 for 25 and keep shooting with confidence, y'all don't know how much, y'all don't know what that means. That is, you gotta be next level different to be 3 for 25 and shoot every jumper with confidence.
But that's what they tell you, man. Shoot or shoot. You know what I'm saying? The only shot you miss or the only shot you don't take is the one you don't shoot. Yeah. You know, so hey,
hit a big one, and
you know what? It probably flowed because he didn't have to think about it. He knew the time was running. I'm just gonna get it up, and he was in his rhythm.
But yeah, man, you said it's what they say in March is survive in advance. Survive in
advance. That's what it is.
Sometimes it don't matter how nasty it looks, as long as we can get it done and make it to the next weekend.
Make it to the next week. You know, during the regular season and all that, you can break it down and go over your stats and you can go over your positioning and all that. And you do that as well when it's in the tournament. But you're concentrating on making it to the next run. You know what I'm saying? The next week, because you're one play away from it all being over, you know, so. You don't harp on the guys too much when you get in these tournaments. It's just, hey, guys, this is where we got to pick up on. Let's see what we can improve in a day's turnaround, and let's get to it.
And let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Don't get down on yourselves too much.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
We did have a big upset here in the South bracket. I picked this upset as well because I'm not a big believer in the Big Ten at all times. But James Madison, man, this was a team, another Duke team that I actually do like. These James Madison guys are strong. They beat Wisconsin in the opening round, but they were just not enough to beat the Blue Devils. And they actually did a good job on Flipkowski, and they still lost, which was actually shocking to me. I thought he'd be the X factor.
Yeah, I was with you. I initially on my bracket, I picked James Madison to beat Wisconsin. Of course, I was hoping that they beat Duke, but I knew that was going to be kind of far fetched. But when you look at the makeup of a James Madison, man, and you can go back even to their football, I think they just transitioned to Division One. And so when you look at the football, when you look at the basketball across the board, man, softball as well, by my daughter being a softball player, I've seen how they made that transition. Man, they're ascending, you know, in every direction, man. And I don't know what it is or what's going on or what's in the water over there in Virginia. But James Madison is on the rise, man, and folks need to really, really look out for them guys, man.
Whoever their athletic director is, man, he's doing his thing out there for sure. And that opening season win against Michigan State wasn't a fluke. It wasn't a fluke.
Yeah, at all, man, at all.
Let's talk about the biggest game of the tournament right now. I mean, Oakland from Rochester Hills, Michigan, went out and beat Coach Calipari in Kentucky. And man, Greg Campy has been there since 1984.
He's been there 40 years, man. He's seen the transition from, I believe, Division II, NAIA, Division II, Division I, several conference changes. I mean, going from playing in a barn bird gymnasium to now a beautiful arena up there, you know. And I had Oakland over Kentucky in my bracket, you know, just because Kentucky is Kentucky. I mean, let's be for real, man. I mean, you know, Coach Cal does a great job in recruiting and getting these guys, but I mean, one national championship and all this talent, man, I just don't know. So I had Oakland over Kentucky easily, you know.
10 for 20 from three. One player was 10 for 20 from three off the bench. You got these shoes like that at your team, Coach? You got, this is a guy from Hillsdale.
Yeah, yeah. He transferred in from Division II. Yeah.
Division II. It's got you got any shooters like that on your roster that's shooting
we
like
got
that?
We got some shooters now, man.
When I watched the highlights of the shots, I said, I feel bad for Kentucky almost at some part. Most of these shots are pretty decently contested.
But, you know, that's where looking over the scouting report is important, because he was selling a pump fake and you guys were still jumping. And all he did is say, excuse me, Spikai, another one. You know, so what you going to do? You got to pay attention to the scouting report.
No scouting report, clearly, because that and they were chasing the screens the entire game. How many screens does he have to come off of and hit before you stop chasing that screen?
But nobody even, like you said, they were chasing. Nobody bumped the screens. Nobody cheated up to derail the guy. You know, it was almost like you was chasing Ray Allen or Reggie Miller, you know, to be honest.
You chasing Steph Curry or something.
So I don't really know what the game plan was. Clearly, it didn't work, whatever it was.
It's been a bad defensive team for Kentucky all season. We did know that coming into it. I was mostly shocked that, you know, Oakland was able to get them off balance scoring so much early that late in the game, even though Kentucky kept scoring, then they couldn't get a stop to save their lives.
Yeah, man. You know, when you start letting these teams hang around, man, and it started getting deep into the water, you know, everybody got a chance. And that's what Kentucky ended up doing. They could never pull away. And, you know, it was about the will. Who wanted it more? And Oakland showed that they wanted it more. They were prepared at that time for that moment. And like the kids say, hey, I know I'm not going to the NBA, but I'm playing against these guys who are, but they ain't stop me. Yeah, and we ain't nobody Cinderella.
Yeah, he said, on any given night, if I'm zoned in, I know they can't check me. And that's what you said, one day. We just need one day to play our best.
One day.
Basketball.
Yeah.
One team who's not been on one day. This is the hottest team in college basketball right now. NC State is the hottest team in college basketball. They dropped four of their last five regular season games, ran through the ACC, and now they are running through the tourney, beat Texas Tech number 6, defeated Oakland, and now they got their sights on Shaka Smart and Marquette at number 2.
Hey, man, I'm so happy for my guy Kevin Keats, man. And I actually like this team because this team can play. Baby Zach Randolph, I mean, he does
he a bully, man. DK Burns is a bully.
Hey, Burns does his thing, man. But, you know, again, these guys locked in at the right time. They locked in at the right time. They got hot at the right time. And this is the fruits of their labor paying off. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like if you look at Long Beach State, you know, hey, our coach is getting ready to get fired. Let's go out and win this thing. They zoned in and they won it and made the tournament. You know what I'm saying? So right now, man, Keats, Keats have these guys locked in, and I know the style of coach that he is, and he's tough. And I think they're going to be up for Marquette, and I'm actually going to keep rolling with NC State, man.
It's a team full of seniors, man. I feel like at this point, that team, it's very little game plan being taught, and it's just a lot of who wants it more. You know, this is our last time to play together. Like you said, the who got the most will. And if Marquette does not blow NC State out, I think NC State is going to win that game. Marquette has to dominate early, has to pressure the ball early and get up big, I think, in order to, like, take that will from NC State. Because if it's close to 4 minutes left, I don't want to see Baby Randolph.
Baby Randolph going to do his thing, baby.
Yeah. The next 15 possessions, they're going right to him. So, yeah, if I'm Marquette and I'm Shaka Smart, my goal is to get up early on this team. Get up early, get up big, so they can't go to Baby Randolph as much late in the second.
Well, you can do that, but you know what? When you look at the games, like you said, the last five games, NC State doesn't even get rattled. That's the crazy part. They play at their own pace. And, you know, you would think even when they try to double Baby Randolph or triple him, he's still moving at his own snail pace, hitting the open man. And they're connecting, you know. So what more can you ask, man? So, you know, that might be the only way that Marquette's going to actually win this game. But, again, I'm going with NC State.
NC State. We just saw Marquette have a really tough game with the Colorado team out there, which is actually kind of pretty shocking. Colorado's got a few players, though, that kind of gave Marquette some issues.
Yeah, I vaguely caught pieces of that game, you know, and I don't know, again, like Colorado – their makeup, because they're out there on the Mountain West, and you know it's late. It's late when them games come on over here on the East Coast. Yeah. So you know, for them to have a number 10 seed and lose by what is that 4? You know, I would just think this was a pretty good year. But I mean, when you look at they beat Florida 102-100, you know that's a tremendous run for them from a Colorado team we hadn't heard anything about since probably Chauncey Billups been there.
Yeah, for real, because Spencer Dinwiddie went there and you didn't hear nothing about that.
At all.
Yeah, so no, you're 100% right. Marquette, NC State, I love Shaka Smart. They are healthy now. The point guard's back. I think I'm going to go with Marquette on this one. I think NC State, the break has been too long. They have now had a five-day break since the last time they played. The ACC tourney was right up into March Madness first weekend. They're still feeling it. I think now that break's been too long. And okay. I think Marquette gets them.
We'll see what happens.
And Houston versus Duke, I'm definitely riding with Houston. I'm not picking Duke. I think this is a very good Duke team. They got a good guard in Jeremy Roach, who's seasoned and a veteran. I love a veteran guard in March. But Flipkowski scared me last week. I watched him go out there and put up a stinker. And that lets me – I know Samson is going to be circling him on his scouting report. And Houston is going to play D, and Jamal Shedd's tough. Crowder's tough. I just seen so much of Houston last week where I said I think this team can maybe win it all.
Hey, again, I'll hold off my pick until it's tied.
moving over to the Midwest, this is a team that has not had expectations the last couple of years are finally in the Sweet 16. Purdue, a.k.a. Zach Edey and friends, are here. They're going to go as far as Zach Edey's going to go. Let's just keep it honest here. That's what this team is.
You know, Purdue is that same team year after year after year where they have a great regular season. They make a little run into the Big Ten tournament. They start off pretty decent in the NCAA tournament, and then they falter. I mean, how many times have we seen them at a 1 or 2 seed, and they have great chemistry, and they just drop? So you know how I feel about Gonzaga year after year.
This is tough
for
you.
Yeah, this is tough for me, man, and it's tough because, you know, this weekend I will be back home, courtesy of Gonzaga, my great friend that's coached there, RJ Brass, who's an assistant coach at Gonzaga. So, you know, I'm gonna have to go with the Zags on this one. and I'm gonna tell you why. You know, I don't rock with the Zags, man, for obvious reasons, man. They just don't get them tough grit players. But I think this year is a little bit different from the years past because that pressure is not on them. You know what I'm saying? When you look at the previous years and the guys, what's your guy name? The big Timmy and all of them guys, man. When you look at the previous year, they were coming in 2 seeds. They were high off the hog. They had won the West again. So this year they didn't win the West Conference, the championship. And they just been kind of like under the radar, you know, kind of like before they hit this stride of being popular when you expect them to be in the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight year after year. So I think now they can just kind of go out there and play, and that pressure is not on them. Again, you know, when you look at Edie, man, he's a load, man. But not only that, he has a supporting cast around him, and he's a complete big. You know, I mean, he's not afraid to throw it out. So the key is how Zags going to stop him. That's going to be the interesting key right there. But the Zags have good guard play as they normally do. But I just think if they can push it and get ahead of Edie, man, they'll squeak this one out.
I agree. Zags do have a big fella. Who's going to match up with Edie. Not going to be able to stop Edie by any means. But I love the transfer of Nembhard from Creighton. And Anton Watson's finally a senior. It's finally his show. He was supposed to be a one-and-done freshman, right? And now he's a senior. Right. He's still here as a senior now. Maybe he's got that chip on his shoulder. Like you said, they've been under the radar relaxing. Purdue's scary, though, when you look at Braden Smith and Foster Lawyer's little brother. Both of those guards are consistent. That's the thing that scares me about Purdue. Those two guards really don't have bad games.
Yeah, you know, I look at them, and a lot of times, to be honest, man, when I watched them a couple of weeks ago, I thought I was looking at Jaden Ivey back on the floor again. You know, that's the resemblance of them guys. Yeah, you know, so Painter does a great job, like I say, year in and year out, man. And at some point, he got to get them guys over the hump, and we'll see if this the time.
Yes, sir. Gonzaga got here by way of beating the upset pick for a lot of people, McNeese State, but they had no chance. McNeese had an awful schedule throughout the season to get to their 30 wins, but they did beat a wounded Kansas Jayhawk team. I think due to Kansas being hurt, they're not getting too much flack for this early exit, but they still should be. They were only down one player.
Yeah, you know, but when you look at Hunter wasn't himself. You know, he still was battling that shoulder injury that he did right before the end of the season, man. And then you got the best player that's out. So it was like, where were your numbers coming from? You know, and that showed, you know, scoring a low 68. So, it is what it is, man.
The best game that I've seen in this division, in this region so far, was the Creighton and Oregon overtime.
Oh, that was a great game.
Might be the best game of the tournament so far. I mean, this game was amazing.
Great game. That was a great game. Look, I was sitting on the edge of my seat, man, watching that game, man. I was like, man, somebody got to lose. This Oregon team brought me back from having the Detroit kids out there. Like, that was the energy and feel, you know, and Creighton, you know, they've been up there all year, man. They've been up there all year.
This is a Creighton team that's battle tested, and like you talked about, NC State not panicking, not getting nervous. This Creighton team does not show any signs of that. I mean, they were down what, 5 or 6 with 50 seconds left, and they looked calm as ever.
Well, you know, the part of that is, you know, when you look at them type of schools like Creighton, a lot of them guys stay. So you get that seniority, you get that leadership, you get that oldness, and that's what's showing right now. You got that veteran leadership that's there. So now they're ready for that big moment. You know what I'm saying? And so that puts them against Tennessee, which is going to be another great game. I'm just glad I'm going to be in the house watching it.
Yes. Like you said, creating the team that they've had the same coach for 25 years in McDermott as well. So that whole culture is built on that, like you just said.
Yeah, it's built, man. And you know, look across the sideline, man. And I mean, it's no slouch there. Rick Barnes is proven and battle tested as well, you know. So, this is a toss up, man. It's a toss up. You talking about the SEC champ and Oh man, I'm gonna have to roll with Creighton on this one, man. I think they gonna get it done. I think they gonna get it done.
The fan in me wants Creighton to win, I think, because of how good that game just was. I can watch that again. But I can't forget that at one point throughout this season, I thought Tennessee was the best team in college basketball.
They were.
Dunk Connect is a problem, a dominant scorer, and he's actually got some help around. They got a senior guard, and Johnson is, and Ziegler as well. This Tennessee's team is not a slouch either. Like you said, Rick Barnes can coach his butt off. I'm going to roll with Tennessee as my actual pick, but I would not hate to see Creighton win this game at all, man. That would be fine with me.
Hey, all right. Well, Blue Jays against the Volunteers, so we know where we stand.
And I'm rolling with Gonzaga over Purdue. I think Gonzaga's hot at the right time. No one's talking about them exactly where they want to be. I think Mark Few's ready to run Zach Edey off the court.
Yeah. I think this is it, man. This is it.
The last region we got, man, the West region, UNC. This UNC team is funny, man. They lose Caleb Love, who is one of the best players on their team, and they got better. They got better without Caleb Love, I would say. RJ Davis has been dynamic, Babcock's dynamic, and I love their freshman point guard.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, man, that things like that happen. You know, when you lose one of your best players, and this is in any sport, you know, guys don't have to look at, I have to get him a ball. You know, now it's other guys that can shine, you know, the next man up syndrome. So that pressure of, you know, I know he's the man, I know she's the man, is gone. You know, now we can just play freely. And so, and that's what North Carolina's been doing. You know, Bangkok's been a beast down there in the post, man. You know, I watched that Michigan State game, and Michigan State gave it to him for the most part. And they just pulled away. You look at Alabama, man, you know, of course, our guy, Coach Oates, he brings them Detroit roots down there. And Grand Canyon gave them a fight, man. You know, they were in it for the last 2 minutes,
As expected. I did see that. I saw that game being challenging for Bama. I definitely did. Because defensively, Bama has been but they played great defense against Grand Canyon this weekend.
Yeah. So, you know, Bryce, Coach Drew is a great coach, defensive minded as well, man. So they just lost it at the end, made a couple of bonehead turnovers when it wasn't supposed to be there. And, you know, that gave Alabama a victory. With that being said, man, this is going to be another great game, I believe, because, yeah, Alabama dropped off to my guy losing Brandon Miller and a couple other guys to transfer. Portal, but they still got some pieces in there, man. Yeah, Cersei is still a guy.
Yeah, you just talked about addition by subtraction for UNC. On paper, this Alabama team is not really supposed to be here. They lose three assistant coaches. They lose Brandon Miller to the draft. They lose Javon Quiverly to Memphis. They lose Jaden Bradley to Arizona. They lose a ton of players. And Marcus Sears might be the best point guard in America. I mean, guards dominate March. And for some reason, I think people forget that this is a left-handed team. And I think that's what causes so much trouble for defenses is that Alabama's best players are all left-handed.
Hey, you know, and the one thing about them, they're tough. You know, that's Coach Oates bringing that grit, man. And the guys, again, they take on the personality of their coach. Now, with that being said, I still think they have some offensive liability because when you start looking at the defense and the bodies that North Carolina have out there on the perimeter as well as the inside, it's going to be tough, man. I mean, again, you're looking at a Coach Tom Izzo-type team who's always tough. It doesn't matter if these guys are a household name or not. You know what to expect from a Michigan State team. And the way that these guys were manhandling them or coming right back down their throats, per se, It was just like, wow, you know. So I think in a barn burner again, I'm poor with North Carolina. They're going to pull it out maybe about 12. I'll give them 12.
It's going to be a tough game for Bama because of what I saw last week, only with their lack of big man in foul trouble right now, I think is an issue for Bama. If they're able to make shots, which they did not do this weekend and they're able to win, if they can make shots – I think they're one of the best teams in basketball, then UNC is in trouble. But if it's another game like last week where they had to slow it down, play physical, which I think was UNC is going to try to do, RJ Davis and Babcock could be a too much. But you know me, I'm going to roll with the Tide. I think they're going to get it done. I'm going to stand on my point that guards dominate March, and Marcus Sears is – man, he is such a problem.
Well, I'm actually shocked you're not going to the game.
Now, I got to watch this from my couch because I might have to hang up a little bit. So we need to be inside for this one.
That's an inside, people. That's an inside.
But I'll be at one next year for sure. We're gonna be back at it. But no, this is gonna be a good one though. And Davis, head coach at USC, has those boys playing too. You know, it's a new system, new team still. But RJ Davis, Marcus Sears is a matchup I want to see. I just hope Bama has an answer for Armando Babcock, because I think he could be that X factor.
Yeah. I think his name is escaping me right now. Number 55 from Alabama. If he can stay
Estrada.
If he can stay out of trouble, because he's the X factor, you know. If he can stay out of trouble, and you know he's gonna give you some buckets. He's gonna give you that physical presence in the inside. You know, he may try to go down there and bang with Bangkok for a minute or two. If he gets in trouble, it's going to be an early night for them guys, you know. Yeah. But, again, offensively, I think that's what's showing me that Alabama's going to have a uphill climb.
We got a real scary matchup, man. Clemson has actually been making some noise so far this tournament. Kind of went under-acknowledged in the ACC, I would say, this year. But two impressive wins, New Mexico, and then they beat a really good Baylor team this weekend as well. But can they beat Arizona is the question. This Arizona team is stacked. Like you said, A team like UConn, they didn't lose much from last year. And then they added a Caleb Love and a Jaden Bradley from two Power Five conferences already. Can this Arizona team, you know, get back to the dance? The biggest.
Yeah. You know, Clemson, like you say, they just got hot at the right time. I watched the second half of that game against Baylor. And I mean, it was back and forth. It was a heavyweight fight, you know, and it really came down to who was going to have the ball last. And again, you're looking at the score right now, 72-64 is not indicative. I mean, that was the last few minutes of getting fouls and making free throws. But
It was really a one-point game. My guy went to the line down by one and missed both.
And missed both of them, yeah, because he could have tied it. And, you know, the rest is history. So I just think, you know, looking at Clemson, you know, I just think they got one true big, and he actually fouled out that game against Baylor. And when you look at Arizona, I mean, you're talking about a team that's stacked probably 1 through 8 or 9. You know, I definitely could see them dominating this game. It won't even be close this week.
I was going to say, this could be the one blowout of the Sweet 16.
Yeah, it won't be close this week.
Them and UConn both have a chance to – I think UConn just takes it away late. I think Arizona might dominate Clemson from the start.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one, man. It'll be a good soft drink first half, and the rest will be history after that.
And you're picking UNC over Bama, or are you rolling with the Tide?
No, I'm going UNC. North Carolina's going to beat them, yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. I do got to ask this question. That does wrap up the bracket talk, guys. We definitely going to bring it back next week after. But while we have a coach on here, I'm so curious on why do these games in March always come down to free throws? The easiest shot in basketball. Please tell me how these games always come down to free throws, coach.
Man, you know, sitting here thinking about that you're saying it like that. it's got me thinking, honestly. You know what I'm saying? But 9 times out of 10, I think the competitive juices flow at a different rate when you're talking about tournament, playoff, championship. You know, you go to another level.
Yeah.
And so when you go to another level, and I'm not saying that, you know, players don't take the regular season
serious
as well as the tournament. I just think it's, I know if I miss, I know if I don't win, I'm going home. So the stakes are a little bit higher. So with that being said, you're talking about more fouls. getting fouled at a crucial point, you know, the pressure, depending on where you're playing from, the crowd, your teammates, the coach, you know. And so that's what all you can do is, man, get in there and practice. You know, you can get you get in there and practice. So nine times out of 10, when it gets down to that last minute, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, everything is situational. And you're going to have to hold that ball at some point if you're down or up, and you're going to get fouled. And so that's where the fouling comes in there, and you got to be able to step up there and make them.
I probably watched 5 or 6 games this week, the last weekend, and there's so many games that just come down to teams that were 19 for 42 from the free throw line, or teams that were 8 for 25 from the free throw line and lost by 5. It's always free throws or boxing out. Or the
boxing
two
out
that I see are the biggest culprit for a March Madness loss, boxing out and free throws. I just think it's funny because those are two of the easiest things to do in basketball is box somebody out and make the free throw.
Those are two of the easiest things to do. However, at that time and moment, it's the hardest. And a lot of kids lose that motivation, that momentum, or that concentration. And so you got the other. You got the other team that's needing it, and they see blood and water. So they're a shark and they're coming for it. You know what I'm saying? So at that point, it's about who wants it more. So either I'm going to rip it away from you, knock it out your hand, foul you. And that's just March Madness, man.
Exactly, because now I think about it, that's how that Grand Canyon Alabama game was. Grand Canyon had it. Alabama on two sets of missed free throws got their own rebound. And in college, that's 4 versus 2. Four y'all on the block, and Alabama gets their own rebound. And like you said, that's just we're not going.
That shows you how you want it. I mean, even in my career, man, I've been in some situations where you'll see. It's at the last point of the game, and you'll see three of our guys down there and maybe two of their guys, and they get out-rebounded, you know? And it's like, how do two guys or one guy out-rebound 3-4 guys? Like, he wanted it more.
Hey, that's what it's going to come down to, and that's what March comes down to. So picks are in for this weekend, guys. Let me know what y'all think, but this is going to be an interesting weekend. We got a bunch of great games here, and we will definitely be back next week. We'll follow up and talk about what we got coming up next, which is the Final Four in the national title game. Next time I talk to you, though, before people left.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll see who's right.
Yes, sir. You already know what it is. Appreciate everybody listening. Coach Smith, thank you so much for joining us again. And thank everybody for listening to another episode of Sports Time with Bob. Big screen where we prove that we own big things. I'm doing what I want to keep on looking at this dream. Thinking I want to know when I was 16. Big Ben, he thought a pig immensely. AB with the quick feet, intensely. Weighing this up. But I'm finally here. Follow me here. 'Cause trust me, it's no time to be...